Welcome to What's Next, the podcast that delves into the exhilarating world of nonlinear careers and the art of successful pivots. Join your host, Tamira Lechner, as she explores the diverse pathways of entrepreneurial spirits who thrive while working and playing across multiple disciplines. Whether you're firmly established in your career, contemplating a change, or simply seeking inspiration, these conversations with fascinating people will ignite your curiosity and inform your own journey. Tune in to discover how mindset and action plus your own secret sauce can lead to extraordinary personal and professional growth, no matter where life takes you.
Welcome to What's Next, a podcast that delves into the exhilarating world of nonlinear careers and the art of a successful pivot. I'm your host, Tamira Lechner, and in this mini episode, I'm going to catch you up on my personal What's Next. You see, I started this podcast with my first 8-week series with my friend, Eric Fraser, who was in the middle of an AI career pivot. And update on Eric, his recent announcement on LinkedIn tells me that he has landed his pivot successfully, and he is now wearing the title of Chief Technology Officer for Dr. Lisa AI. But enough about Eric, and back to me. I don't often talk about my own personal career experience, although I do think I insert a lot of myself into my conversations with guests. I wanted to give you a little update because today is the day that I finally put out to the world a little something that I've been working on since December. My colleague Britta and I worked together in Create Positive, which was my last business venture. We spent 3 years together working on flourishing for schools, training teachers, administrators, and students on the skills to feel and do your best in an educational setting. And we had some great learnings as founders. We certainly had a strong postmortem and learned a lot about ourselves. That said, Britta and I have been playing with ideas around how to continue to help in an organizational setting. Britta's background, as you've heard on the episode with Britta, is management consulting. She has one of the most interesting minds of any human that I know. And she and I got kind of drawn in by accident. I was asked by Eric to help out at his former company, Culture Partners, doing some data analysis for the team. To be honest, when I initially took the role, I thought what I was doing was creating a survey in SurveyMonkey, a small, simple job that I could do that would help me to make ends meet and used skills that I had. So it didn't feel like a bold career move. It felt like I can do this. I have the time to do this. I need to bring in some income. Let's give it a go. Why am I telling you this? Because when I reached out to Eric and said, yes, I can do this for you, I never thought it was going to be part of my career pivot. And so the lesson here is when you open your mind to opportunities, even if they don't seem like the perfect match, you never know what's going to happen. I accepted the contract from Eric, which ended up being a much more in-depth type of data analysis. And pretty soon I recognized that I love doing a good job and I didn't feel like I had all the skills that I needed to do a good job. I asked if I could involve my colleague Britta, and of course, she was embraced. Who wouldn't want a former management consultant who is an expert level analyzer looking at their data? So Britta and I worked together, and what we learned is that we complemented one another very well. We developed a process that really blends the strengths that humans have with the strengths that AI analysis has. And when we work together, what we tend to do is start separately and then meet regularly to see where we're aligned, where we can build off of what the other contributors' insights are. And because of that, our partnership certainly adds a ton of value to our clients. So we completed the first and were immediately asked to do a second contract, which is great news when you're starting a new business, and then a third. And we began to wonder, is there a business model here that we had not considered? And again, we didn't have a very large data set. If you hear me, we're both talking about loving to have data-informed insights and choices. And we only had 3 data points. These were all Malaysian clients through an American consulting firm. As we started to talk about what we were doing, we noticed more and more that we had people in the space of organizational change or CHROs that we knew really intrigued about how we were doing what we were doing. So let me just go back and tell you what it is exactly that we are doing. Basically, we're combining the nuance of human and the power of AI to engage people at scale. What this means is we either start with a fresh data gathering, so a survey of some sort that we create, and we have talked to Tova over at Fathom to learn all we can about how to ask the best questions possible and how many of these should be Likert scale questions versus how many of them should be open-ended questions and what a really good open-ended question is. And so we've learned a ton about that. And we've started working with many organizations who have data sitting in a Glint survey or a Gallup survey or a Culture Amp survey, but they get these results in a dashboard or in an Excel spreadsheet. And that's the what. That's the measurement. We have data in your hand, but it's very challenging to figure out what that data is telling you, the so what. This is the part where you have to bring context and story and background and key results, and all of this information is never part of a survey dashboard. This is the human part. So we analyze and interpret that data using this collaborative process, and then we figure out what the story is that data is telling about what's hindering and what's helping both individual work inside of an organization, teamwork inside of an organization, and organizational goals. We identify critical themes, and we do this using, again, AI-enabled comment sorting, composite score calculation, and then always with a human validity check and a human mapping of these insights. Then an organization has a so what, tells you this is what your data story is telling you, but it doesn't tell you what to do. That's the now what. And even with the best of these online dashboards, unless it comes accompanied by a consultant that works directly with your team to help you implement whatever findings were there in your survey, you're missing the most important phase, the now what phase. This is where you adapt what you're already doing, you try something new, you throw out something that you're already doing, or you embed something that's working. Remember, a diagnosis is only good if you take action on the diagnosis. When you go to your doctors and have blood work, if it tells you something about your triglycerides or your blood sugar, if you don't change your diet, it doesn't matter that you went and had the blood work done. So the action sparked by these insights needs to turn into strategies. And we either work with your team, or often when we're working with consultants, the consultants are the ones that run with the now what. We give them these valuable insights and we tell them which ones are the strongest leverage points for the organization based on what we've been told about organizational goals. And they run with it, or in a situation where we're not working with a consultant and we're actually working directly with an organization, we can help to develop initiatives together with the HR team that lead to the desired outcomes. What we're often finding in the data that we're looking at is that there's a real disconnect between the top and the bottom of a structure. So when we look at clients who are using Glint, Glint has a wonderful ACT process that is for managers to help individual contributors integrate new things. It's basically a feedback process that is quite strong. That would be a bottom-up momentum. Top-down are the initiatives that are being talked about in the all-hands meetings. And so let's say we've decided we want to change how feedback happens. We often see that the top says, all right, I'm bringing in Kim Scott and her team to teach you all about radical candor. And then at the bottom, we have this new experience of what it's like to be part of the radical candor feedback loop. But sometimes those two things don't meet in the middle. Our job is to measure and adapt. So I think of this kind of like building a bridge from two sides of a river. You can start with the middle in mind, but things happen. We have wind, we have storms, maybe somebody measured a little bit wrong, and suddenly the bridge isn't meeting in the middle. Your data is the metric that's going to help you on an ongoing basis activate the little shifts you need to make in order to meet in the middle. This ignites connection to clear shared goals across an organization. If you've heard me speak about my time with Flow Research Collective and Stephen Kotler's team, they are all about clear shared goals. This is one of the strategies to get workers in flow. When team members know their work's purpose and they connect it to the bigger picture, it fosters accountability, commitment, and a huge sense of ownership, which leads to more motivation and drive. The other part of this is scaffolding through formal mechanisms. Often we see these changes happen. So we might have a measurement that tells us this organization is kicking it out of the park with their engagement score. However, if they haven't got sustainable and embedded processes and systems in the organization, it is not going to stick. What am I talking about when I say formal mechanisms? Think of things like a competency framework, a clear goal priority matrix, feedback alignment, or even a meeting structure. Again, we can make recommendations to help an organization really make the work they're doing stick. So, I realize this might sound like an advertisement for my new company, Apricity. It certainly is not. What I'm sharing today for those of you out there who, like me, have put your name in for more than 100 jobs with zero success rate, perhaps you need to create the organization you want to work for. And I will tell you, I was resistant to this. One of my key and clear goals was to be part of a team and to have a mentor. And I felt like I had to join somebody else's organization to do that. What I'm learning through this new work that I'm doing personally and together with Britta is we actually get mentored by some unique and amazingly skilled humans who sit at the top of the companies that we are presenting our data analysis two. And we also get to have that sense of team working together with the consulting firm teams or the organizational HR teams. So it's kind of a win-win. I still get to do my own thing, which has always been me. And I have a team and I have opportunity to have mentor conversations. So I'd say it's a win-win-win. On a final note for this mini podcast, what I want to say is sometimes looking back, and you have heard me before talk about the through line of careers and what your history is before you think about what you're going towards. I've been having a deep dive into my history lately. My mom is cleaning out her basement. She has pretty much everything from her whole entire life down there. And she recently sent me all of my report cards from elementary school. I don't think I had any in high school that she sent my way. But what's really interesting is starting at a very young age, there was a theme in my report cards that said, Tammy works hard towards goals and is an excellent cognitive student, but she likes to do it her own way. So I guess the one line summary for me is, I did it my way. Thanks so much for joining this mini episode of What's Next and letting me tell you a little bit about my own What's Next. I appreciate you joining us. And remember, the next chapter of your personal story is inevitable. Enjoying it is all up to you. So please tune in to learn more about how to do that.